guys, welcome to Basement Overcrest. This is Chris.
And I'm Jake.
How's it going, man?
Why is it Basement Overcrest?
Because I'm in the basement. This is where
I'm at the same place, but my background is very sad.
Significantly less cool. There's no pallets on the wall.
No, no palette.
Looks like a really shitty patch job on the wall from what I can
see. Hey, you can't tell that. It looks great.
Yeah, but I know you complained about it, so I know it is a shitty patch job.
I did a very good job at it. It just took a lot of work to do that.
I have a complaint.
Tell me your complaint, sir. This is the complaints department of Overcrest.
Okay. Overcrest.com/complaints. Oh, that'll just take you to the driver's club, won't it?
Yes, it will. Which could be the same thing, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Why is it, and I think we have a solution now, but you have a 50-50 chance every time when you have a USB cord.
I don't know if I've got one here nearby that I can use as an example.
All right. So you've got a 50-50 chance every time you plug one of these in.
Oh, yes.
You can either get it this way
or
this way. I'm just talking a standard spade USB. You've got a 50-50 chance.
Right. The old school.
Why
USB
is it that I have a 0% success rate in that 50-50 chance over the history of time of years? When was USB invented? Like 50 years ago.
Yeah, no, doesn't matter what it is. You will always get it in wrong.
I have a 0% success rate on a 50-50 shot, which means I don't know why I'm so good at roulette. I'm really good at roulette, but I cannot. I'm zero.
It's like the meme. Have you seen the one, or it might have been a commercial, where it's like the guy puts peanut butter on a slice of bread and it doesn't matter where he drops it, but it always lands face down. And so then he takes his cat, and it doesn't matter how he drops his cat, and it's face up. So he duct tapes the piece of bread to the cat, drops it, and just sits there and spins, and it's like
an
perpetual motion. Yeah.
Yeah, but that all makes sense. Like, that's all physics, right? You're adding weight to the bottom of the bread.
So obviously
the bread is more likely to fall face down because it has more weight.
The USB is just terrible odds.
But now we have USB-C, which is great. So whatever. Anyway, that's it. That was my complaint, is my 0% success rate.
Okay. Yeah. Of the USB. Got it. Because you got set up in your basement because your garage or your office is too cold. Because as we talked about last week, the furnace was melting everything.
It's like Little Red Riding Hood and her like porridge. It's too hot. It's too cold.
Too cold. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm moving. So I'm tearing everything down in my house. And anyone listening in the Twin Cities or anywhere who wants to come help this weekend.
Was it this weekend?
Well, we're going to air this the following week.
Yeah. Sorry,
I will have been moved.
No, we'll put a shout out to everybody that we can all come help you move. You just got to give us a date and time, okay?
It'll be Saturday.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter right now because this is happening in the past, according to everybody.
It was great. You guys, thanks for all the help. Everyone came out. It was so amazing. It was so quick. Love our fans.
Then there's finally tons of room in your storage space where my car is.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so Jake, Chris, this is
how can you gloss over that comment?
Because we already talked about it. Oh no, we didn't talk about it,
Jake. Okay, so I don't have my garage is full, and we'll get this is going to be a fun episode. It's the golden rules for buying a car.
Yes,
and we'll get there. It's fun, but I want to touch base.
We will
on how dumb you are.
No,
which is one of my favorite pastimes.
Optimistic. I will admit, I am optimistic to a fault. And that's exactly what this was.
I call up Jake. Hey, Jake, I need a place. Well, it was more along the lines of like, if only I had a place to store my car, because I knew that you had a storage spot. And you, of course, being a very generous and kind person, said, well,
bring it down.
Put it at my storage unit thing.
Yeah.
No problem. No big deal, right?
Got plenty of room.
Absolutely no big deal. Massive. Just bring it on over. So I'm like, great. So, of course, I look at the forecast. No snow in the foreseeable future, none.
So this is what I was frustrated with, is last minute, Chris.
Well, it wasn't,
which I knew it was going to be last minute, Chris.
The forecast was no snow in the next week and a half. Right. It was nothing on the forecast, 0%.
Yeah, no, it's great.
And then all of a sudden, boom, it's going to snow and rain. And I'm like, well, if it's going to snow and rain, that means salt. And of course, it was like, I woke up in the morning, it was that evening, snow and rain.
Snow.
Out of nowhere. Yep. I wasn't trying to be last minute. Anyway, I call up Jake, I got to bring the car down there. You're like, just let me know. You know, you're awesome about it. So let me know. It's no problem. We'll get you sorted out. And so I hop in the car. By the way, my brakes are awesome.
Dialed. Awesome.
They're awesome. They now are fantastic.
It was just, what did it end up being? The bubbles in the caliper that were sticking?
I guess.
Right? Because you had to bang on the caliper as you were bleeding it? Is that what we just determined?
Yep. I used a little rubber mallet and I just tapped on the caliper while the power bleeder was on and I saw bubbles come
out. That's a trick that you need to do for everything then.
I guess if you want rock solid. I still feel like there's a little bit of air in there. I could do better.
Really?
But yeah, I feel like I could do even better, but I just didn't have time. Anyway, hop in the car. Irene hops in with me and we drive down, meet you at the place, which is like.
That was Vern in your car.
No, that was Irene in my car. Thank you. I know the difference between my children. Veronica was with Jesse because Jesse met us there. Anyway.
Okay. I saw Vern hop out of your car.
No, you did not. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She did ride over from. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, anyway. Okay. Yes. Okay. They
were
chaos.
I didn't know
if
you knew your own children. But yes.
Yes, I do know my own children very good. So anyways, I get there. It's like an hour and 15 minutes from my house, probably.
Yeah.
Jake, beep, boop, 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 he had a key. Puts the key in, unlocks the door. Zhunk. And all I see is motorcycles up to the door. I think that you could maybe park a smart car in there. I think you could fit a smart car in. There is zero room in this garage. None. It's a C10, a Mini, which who needs to store a Mini? It's a brand new car. Just park that piece of shit outside. You've got a Mini. You've got a 914 that your dad never drives. Shame on him.
Yep.
You've got a 944 that we should have taken pictures of while it was still warm.
Should have.
So you could sell it over the winter. Now you're screwed and you can't sell it till spring and you've got to move it around.
Correct.
And then we've also got your 911 parked in the back, which you didn't drive all summer.
That's not true.
You barely drove that car.
I didn't drive it as much as I wanted to. That's for sure.
How many times did you drive it? I bet you can count.
Yeah, probably can count.
Sad. Didn't even take it on the rally. Instead, you know what? That 2002 is karma for you.
Oh, come on.
It's C-A-R-M-A, karma, for you not driving your 911 on the rally. You got stuck driving that 2002, bent you over, just spanked your ass for like an entire few days. So you should have taken the 911 and that would have never happened.
Always take the 911. Got it.
Anyway, so there was no space. So then, of course, what are we going to do? Well, why don't we just start up the C10 and back it out?
Yeah. Well,
nothing has batteries.
Yes, because it's all in cold storage. Everything, the batteries are pulled, stables in the tank, tires are good. It was all by design, right? And in my defense, I forgot that I had also moved a bunch of our crap.
This must be one cheap storage unit if there's no electricity in it.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's why I have it. It's great.
How much is it?
I'm not going to tell you up public because I got a deal.
Oh. Who gives a shit? What is it? Why is it a secret?
I don't know. Because it's an Overpress listener that gave me the deal.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. I understand. Okay.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. Anyways.
How much would it be normally?
Like what's 350? Or something.
It would normally be $350 a month
like
for
that.
This. That's really cheap still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that alludes to how cheap this actually is. Still, I mean, how much these places should be running conduit and electricity. It's not that expensive. Just run the conduit.
But then they have to meter who is pulling electricity from where.
Dude, these are storage units. Just have it be included. Charge an extra $25 a month and include the electricity.
You know someone would start their welding shop in there. Like, I'm sure it's liability to whatever. Anyways, beside the point. Yes, I forgot that I had all of the motorcycles and a bunch of, like, crap that I moved over there while we're moving.
When we say
if those
all of the motorcycles, we mean...
It would have fit.
We mean the Ducati...
Yep.
The heaviest tank motorcycle ever that you built that you can't even kickstart is still around for some reason. I don't know why you still have that.
Because the clutch needs to be fixed before I sell it. You know, things aren't worth as much if they're not working.
Yeah, but
right?
Any listener knows that they remember hearing about this motorcycle that you can't kick over because it breaks your knee.
It's a really, really rad.
It's been so long that they can't even conceive.
Head. Hardtail. Yeah.
They can't even conceive how long ago that was.
It was, years. It's fine. Don't worry.
It's
gotta
be like 2 years.
Yeah.
So now you have to drag this thing to a storage unit. How'd you get it there?
Yep. Trailer.
So you wheeled it onto a trailer with a bunch of other shit. You've got a Honda Monkey, a Honda Grom, this stupid won't kickstart thing, another Cafe Racer thing looking. Honda,
oh, that's what was back here.
Yeah,
Honda,
that's another
CB160.
Honda, right?
Yep. Yep. There was also a Honda Trail 70 that was behind the C10 that you may or may not have seen.
Mm-hmm. and then the Ducati.
And an
electric bicycle.
Electric bike that's Nikki's, and Colin had his CB750 in there as well.
Dude, you need to get things under control. You need to just like...
You have know what the so problem is? What? I know, it's terrible.
It's going to get worse because you have like unlimited space. Yes,
I know,
unlimited space! Let's go!
It's
going to
be a junkyard! Yes! Jake's junkyard!
And here's what's going to happen. I'm moving. I'm looking to buy a house out there. So we're going to have to paint off.
Oh, no.
You're building a steel building, right?
It's not probably going to be this year, but
okay,
eventually
there'll
be.
I have input on this, okay?
Okay, let's
you can either. You can either have a steel building, which is like a 50 by 75 pole barn or whatever, or 30 by 75 pole barn.
Whatever. Yes, massive.
What is the difference between, well, I want to talk about the difference between doing a pole barn, which is just a big empty shed, or building a nice place to be? Because no pole barn is a nice place to be.
That's
you go
not
in
true.
There. Oh, yeah.
It depends if it's insulated and finished. All you're talking about is
I'm
building
talking
materials.
About morale. Okay. I'm talking about being in a box. You have a beautiful property.
Most buildings are boxes, Chris.
Yeah, but it's kind of. I feel like you
boxes,
could build like.
Here's what it is. Boxes are very cheap to build because it's four walls. And if you do it with certain building materials that are generally what you use to build a pole barn, that's why you do it. It's because it's so much cheaper. If you start doing an architecturally interesting thing, that's much more complex to build. And if you use different materials that are not just steel, then that's also more expensive.
Yeah, but I want you to do this so that I can have a cool place
to what do you want me
out.
To do? Okay. I thought you were legitimately asking why people
no,
don't
no.
do this.
I understand why steel buildings exist,
so
but
more
they're
expensive.
Really...
You want me to build a really expensive, cool hangout?
Yes.
Okay. I'm on it.
Yeah. Love come
it.
On, man.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Before let's the go. House, you got the staircase of death, and then which is
attached garage needs to also go on.
What do you mean?
There's no attached garage on the house.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem. That's a real problem.
Staircase of death, attached garage, then awesome hangout.
You guys are going to have a rough time this winter with that detached garage with carrying a baby across 100 feet of snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be a problem.
That's why. Yeah. Whatever. Yes. Plow truck is there. So.
Yeah. The stupid plow truck that. Takes up space. Anyway, so we had to swap the battery out of my 911, put it in the C10 because nothing has batteries and the place doesn't have power, so you can't put a battery tender on.
Right, so you
the
pull
batteries.
The battery out.
So you had to pull the battery out. So now the C10 is at your house with my battery and the 911 is in the storage unit and the C10 is going to get moved to the new place?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay.
I think the C10 can go back in storage once all the other crap is moved out.
Maybe.
Because I have caster, like wheel roller caster things.
Yeah.
So I can just kind of Lego it in.
I'll come help you. Just let me know. Okay. I'll come down and help you out. I was wondering why I wasn't cold. You know what? You know, I have a pro tip for you for being warm.
When wasn't it cold?
When we were hanging out, I was just in like a flannel shirt and like a windbreaker.
Oh, yeah. Because we were busy.
No, it's because I had pajama pants on under my jeans.
Oh, yeah. That thermal underwear. It does
not
good.
Even that.
Does
it's
well.
Like just like fleece pajama pants from Target underneath your jeans. Pro tip.
Okay. They also make just lined jeans.
They do. But like I was talking to Graham from GFC the other day about a project that we want to do in the winter. And I was thinking about like, you know, partners that we could have with the project and stuff like that. And it gets very, very cold. And of course, there's all these companies that make these insane cold weather gear. Right.
Like, yeah.
And I was thinking to myself of my grandfather doing stuff 50 years ago. When the only North Face of something was like the North Face of Dubuque, Iowa. You know, there was no North Face.
There was no
Patagonia. What?
I bet there was Carhartt.
I don't know, man. All I know is that all you had really was Sears. You had Sears. You would walk in or you had like a mail order catalog. But there was no Gore-Tex. There was no like there was waxed canvas.
Yeah.
Like you had wax canvas and you just all it is like layer after layer of cotton and wool. That's it. That's all you did. And that's all you truly need. You might feel like a sausage, but you're warm.
Yeah. Mobility lacks.
Mobility has improved. But like,
you know, as we know, the contortionist car yoga is definitely a thing when working on things, especially if you're not under a hoist. or like up in the air. Yeah. So that's also, so are you getting at the fact that we need to partner with a clothing company to make like outerwear for specifically working on cars?
Sure. That sounds great. Or we could just put heaters in our garages. Yeah. I was thinking about all the garages that I've had. Yeah. You know, first was when I lived at home, which was no garage. I just worked outside in the wintertime.
Probably on gravel, right?
Well, it didn't matter because you're laying in the snow. But I worked on cars in the snow, laying in the driveway.
Because for those that don't know, in Minnesota, it's just snow all the time.
Yeah, well, this was Wisconsin, but similar. Not as cold, but there was still snow. And then what garage did I have? I can't even really. Oh, I had a couple different like apartments and stuff. I did a first engine swap I ever did was in a parking ramp. And I remember dragging pulling the engine out, diesel engine, dragging it with like four dudes and rope, dragging it across the floor so you could, and then throwing it in the dumpster.
You threw the whole engine in the dumpster?
The whole diesel engine. Oh, we just picked it up and hucked it in the dumpster. That's and the property manager like came and knocked on the door and was like, "Hey, what is going on? Why did you throw an engine in the dumpster?" I said, "It wasn't me." And she like, "There's a line across the concrete where you drag the motor from your parking spot number 65 all the way to the dumpster." And I just went, "Was it me?" It's just like nothing ever came of it. But then I also, that was warm. But I also had where I built the Manila Green car, the nicest car I've ever built, I think.
Yes.
The Rabbit, which was super.
Well, that's not Slow Bunny, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, Jersey.
Okay, Jersey. Yep. That's what I'm talking of. Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of different names for that car. That car started in a shed, like a one-car shed with like barn doors. No insulation, no heat, one light bulb on a pull string. So there was so little space that I had put an easy up outside the barn door thing so that I could
open
be
it.
Out of the elements while I'm working on the car. So that's where it started. So now I'm complaining that I don't have heat in the garage, but realistically what I've got now, I could go get a torpedo heater and heat the place up.
Exactly.
Right away.
Very easily could.
But I hate the cycling of heat because your tools and everything gets condensation on it. Every time you warm it up and cool it down and warm it up and cool it down, it doesn't work out well. It's not good.
Okay. I guess I've never noticed that.
Yeah.
Everything must be very wet where you are for some reason.
No, it's the dew point. It's condensation. It's how it works.
So I'm curious. You were talking about the super fancy, cool, not pole barn that I'm going to build, and you were going to put white marks on the floor.
Yeah, I got a white mark out of spot for myself. Like, this is my area of Jake's place.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you've got to build it big enough that I can store maybe three, four cars. Has our friendship reached that level yet? Dude, these glasses suck. These are my shop glasses that I wear in the garage. They're awful.
We were just talking about this. This is why you need to get LASIK, and you can still wear glasses because you look better with glasses. I agree, but LASIK.
Yeah, look, without glasses, I look ridiculous.
Not good. Not good at all. All right, okay. Anyways, so
the golden rules for buying a car. Before we get to that, what have you got for us?
No, Chris.
Yes.
This is why you're not allowed to do this because I have this later on.
Oh, you've got it all laid out.
Yes,
all right.
Exactly. All right, okay. All right, so I was going to originally call this episode the Ten Commandments of buying a car, but didn't for a couple reasons. One, there are apparently 100 stupid lists online,
Jake,
with that same name.
Do you like sandwiches?
Yes.
I'm having a hard time here because Jesse made me sandwiches and gave me sandwiches and they're just here. And
you
want to
eat a sandwich right now, don't you?
I want to eat the sandwich so bad.
Eat the sandwich. I'll read. Fine.
No, I'm not eating the sandwich on camera. I just wanted to
comment. So I did a lot of research for this, Chris, in my due diligence, and there's 100 stupid lists out there, which, by the way, are terrible. And our list is going to be amazing, but they're all called the Ten Commandments of buying a car. So I'm
going to ask you why they were bad without revealing anything.
Had to do with buying a car from a dealer and like know your financing rate and blah, blah, blah. We'll get to that in a minute.
Number one, don't buy from a dealer. I mean, that's
so. Yeah. And the second reason we're not calling it the Ten Commandments is I have way more than 10 rules, turns out.
I was hired by Facebook. They were going to have like for their car marketplace.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Like, oh, dude. Oh, it was Associated Story is kind of funny. So there was like an SEO company or something that I had been writing stuff for. And they're like, "Hey, we got hired by Facebook to write buy guides for cars." So I basically had to write what it's like to go into a dealer and buy this and buy that. And And I remember writing this one thing about like 4-cylinder engines and Toyotas.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And they they Googled and found some obscure Toyota engine that was only sold in Japan. And they're like, what about this one? Why are you leaving this one out? It was awful dealing with a not
people
car
who have
person.
No idea anything
just
about
some
cars.
Like yep. just nerd yep. sitting in a Facebook place in Silicon
exactly.
Valley trying to tell me how to write about cars. Terrible. Anyway, yes. so I remember
Anyways.
The oops, go ahead. Sorry, I was going to tell you a story about a snowmobile falling off a trailer, but go ahead.
We can get to that one. I'm sure there's going to be an example where that comes up. Because here's the thing with all these rules. Rules come from lessons learned, right?
Yes.
And so yeah. for every single one of these rules, we're going to have some sort of anecdote between the two of us. I know
Do
it.
You know how many cars I've bought and sold, Jake?
We tried to count this one time.
I can't even say.
It's been a lot.
I am constantly
yes.
reminded of, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Remember that one time. Right. So as I started putting these together, I realized there was basically two parts to it, right? So you have the process of buying a car and then the actual scrutiny or what to look out for when looking at said car, right? So it's going to be basically two different sections. We have the
what about
the
coming to the car in the first place? What about right. coming to the, like, choosing what car to even go look
That's
at?
That's the process. That's yeah. the process. And yeah. then the scrutiny. Right. So before we get into it, though, I feel like we need to define the list or put some constraints on what we're actually talking about. Right. Okay. And so the first constraint I think we can agree on, and this is literally what you were talking about, is this list playlist is buying a used car only. Right.
Right.
Buying a new car is easy. There's
it's
basically only two.
It's stupid.
Rules. It's stupid.
Don't
and
do
there's
it.
Only two rules. One, shop around. And number two, don't overspend. And through all these stupid lists I talked about, they always talked about this financial rule of the 20-40-10 rule, which I can tell you, just because it's real quick, be able to put 20% down on whatever you're buying. Don't yep. take out more than a 4-year loan and don't spend more than 10% of your monthly income on payments. Done. Basically, don't overspend on a car and be sure to shop around. Those are the right. only two things you need to know for buying a new car. So that's dumb. That list is not about new cars. Lastly, for our list, the following rules assume you are buying from a stranger, right? Because mm-hmm. as we've talked about before, the best, absolute best way to buy a car is a sideways deal. That is to say, you buy it from a friend before it ever gets listed on right. the market.
Or right? a friend of a friend, or you got a lead, or your nose
An
is
acquaintance,
on the ground or whatever.
Exactly. So, all right, before we get into this, Chris, let's talk about a couple things you can buy. And don't have to worry about an exhaustive list.
Ooh.
The first of which is Petrobox, uh-huh. which is a monthly service made specifically for the automotive enthusiast, the car girl or car guy in your life, who may or may not be very difficult to shop for Christmas and the holiday season.
Which is
so
now. That's now, Jake.
You should get them a Petrobox subscription instead, because each month they would then get a box on their doorstep, a gift from you that keeps on giving.
They would think of
tools,
you every month. Oh man, my significant
supplies.
Other is so thoughtful. You could do that for a year.
Yes. Garage gear, stickers, publications, apparel, t-shirts, hats, the latest and greatest in the industry. Two different levels to choose from. You have the $20 a month for the Petrobox Basic, or if you love them even more, you get the Petrobox Premium for $39.95 a month. Check them out at mypetrobox.com. Use the code Overcrest if you want. That'll get you $6 off. Also, don't have to worry and don't need a full list to buy from CSF Cooling, because they've been at the forefront of quality products for a fair price.
This is honestly our coolest partner.
That is 100% accurate. 100%.
Coolest.
That was
cool.
a terrible yeah. dad joke, but it's true. Yeah. They have a rich history stretching over 7 decades and provide the best high performance and OEM plus cooling on the market. They offer 3,000 and counting different applications for the most popular markets, makes and models on the road today. From classic copper brass radiators for your Land Cruisers, your Jeeps and your Datsuns, to all your vintage 80s metal for your Mercedes, BMWs, Audi and Porsche. All the way up to, of course, new platforms, including electric vehicles, as we talked about the other week. Be sure to check out their expanding classic
hey,
series
Robbie,
lineup.
It's Chris. I was wondering if you guys make radiators for Bugatti Veyrons. Seems like a great market, as there are so many. Let's see what he
there
says.
There you go. So check them out at csfrace.com or on social media at CSF Cooling.
All right.
All right, Chris, let's get into the meat of this. So like I said, I divided into two categories. This is the process of buying a car. Number one, rule number one, always be willing and expect to walk away from a car. Don't let emotion get in the way of logic here, right?
You know, this is something I just told my sister. I said, hey, I know you really want to buy the car she bought, but it isn't going anywhere. Sleep on it.
Yes.
Sleep on it.
Speaking of emotion, rule number two, we're going to go right into these. Bring a friend. It's always better to have another set of eyes when you're there. Even if they aren't as knowledgeable as you about this specific model, they will have different or clear perspective without bias.
And you can play good cop, bad cop.
That's true. You can. Yeah. You can play the negotiation game. Yeah. And when you're sitting there talking and haggling with the guy, the other guy can go around and look at the other side of the car without the other guy looking at, hey, what are you looking at? Right?
Here's the thing. It's basically always easier. You have an uninterested party. Exactly. As it's called. They have no interest in the purchase. Other than, you know, it's fun, right? It's fun to go buy a car with somebody and it's fun.
Yeah.
But they aren't the one owning the car. So they can be brutally honest and they don't have the emotional investment in the car.
Exactly.
So you and I go look at something. I'm super excited about it, right? I'm like, the cash is literally on fire,
burning
in my pocket. I've got it with me. I'm ready to bring you've. When you go, we're talking about enthusiast purchases here a lot.
Right. Yeah. You know, so kind of when I was looking through the constraints. You're already excited. Yeah. I was going to be like, this could be a project car. These rules apply. This could be some fun. Even a daily driver, though, most of these would apply for. So.
Yeah. Yes. It's just you got to have that uninterested party to kind of like bring you back to earth. You know, it can help quite a bit because, I mean, I buy cars alone all the time. I very rarely make mistakes. But when I do, it's because I was too excited.
Yes, 100%. All right, Chris, this is the one that you added. Your number one rule was don't buy from a dealer.
Do not buy from a dealer.
Why not?
I buy from a dealer. I have a really good relationship at a dealer.
Yes.
I do. But most people don't have a relationship that I do. Do not buy from the dealer. It is slightly more difficult to buy private party because you usually have to go find a credit union if you want to get a loan.
Sure.
And then the process sucks a little bit more, but you will pay thousands more.
Yes.
Going to a dealer. Thousands.
It doesn't
not
matter
only on the rate,
what it is.
Yes. Not only on the rate that you're paying, because guess what? That rate that you're paying also is a kickback from the bank to the dealer. So you're also paying for that.
Yes.
So it's much better for you to go to a credit union, you know, get like pre-approved. It's almost like buying a house. You get pre-approved.
Yep, you can get pre-approval.
Hey, I'm thinking about buying a car like this.
Yep.
And then usually I'll be out. Problem is that doesn't really work with like old cars. You just need to bring cash. You know, you just need
to
have cash.
That's correct. Yes. But when it comes to a dealer, it doesn't matter what it is. They always will be more expensive for the simple reason that they need to make a profit.
Guess what?
Now,
Bob at the dealership has something called overhead. You at your house?
Yes.
You have zero. You don't have to pay any employees. It's very common sense.
True. I will say, because I always want to talk about a little story or anecdote, there are exceptions to this rule. Okay. So sometimes when you find the vehicle, the rarest of the rare, the one of 56 ever made that you want to buy, you buy from a dealer because that's where it is. This was the case with my H3T. Was out in Colorado at a dealer. There also can be some hidden bonuses, such as the fact perhaps there is a super green brand new sales girl just out of college. This is her first car or deal she's ever working on at the dealer, and she forgot to turn off the XM stereo subscription for 3 years after you own the car.
In the H3T?
Yeah. Stereo for free for like 3.5 years.
I always thought satellite radio sounded like crap. From a guy who loves music and, I mean, obviously
audiophile
gear back there.
It's supposed to be higher def, isn't it? That was the whole point.
It just seems tinny and trebly to me. Not good.
Regardless, so speaking of how I went, you know, to Colorado to buy that, my number four rule for buying a car is always expand your search, right? It's going to be cheaper and easier in the long run to buy a car from out of state than to spend thousands on the work a local example may need. Because you didn't say, oh, well, I'm only going to travel 100 miles or, you know, I'm only going to go 20 minutes to buy a car. There's plenty of cars here. If you're looking for a specific model, which most of these people who would be following these rules are, you know, you want that particular vehicle, expand your search. You know,
it's worth it.
Plane tickets are cheap. Shipping is cheap. And guess what? Road trips are fun. Take the
car
first.
Or if you've got listed here, road strips. Are fun.
Wow. Yeah.
I haven't experienced a road trip yet, but maybe next road trip I go on with my wife, we'll try a road strip and see how that goes.
Yes, and most importantly with that, cars outside the Midwest, they don't have as much rust.
And guess what? So, they cost the same. They do.
More or less. I mean, like, yeah, you're right.
Typically,
yeah.
A fill in the blank in Texas and a fill in the blank here, they cost the same. I always thought, I mean, I think places do this is they you know, buy cars at auction down there, ship them up, and then, you know, 100%
they do.
You know, sometimes.
I didn't realize this was a thing until I was looking at crappy old pickups. Is a lot of times the first thing to go on these pickups is the bed, the metal around the bed gets rusty, yep. And it's thinner and there's not a lot of structure there. They rust out completely. Guys will go down with semi trucks down south and just get pickup bed boxes for like the most popular makes and models and bring them up here and sell them for a profit. I didn't realize that was like a thing. That's a market.
What is it about trucks that makes them rust so bad? Why can't we figure this out?
It's a few different things. One is just the usage and owner. Think about it. It's what guys are usually
These are $50,000 to $80,000 trucks that are rusting out in a few years.
Yeah,
and they're not using them for truck things. They're just driving them around.
Hmm.
Why are they rusting?
I know what you mean, because you look at the average car of that same lifespan; it's not as rusty as any given truck. I don't know. Is it because they're banged up and they get scratched because they are being used?
I don't know. I will say, figure it out.
If you look at every single Dodge truck from like 2001 to 2005 or whatever it was, where they're just completely rust buckets, it's because there was actually an issue with the steel used was not fully galvanized during that.
Yeah, that happened to the Rabbits too. Well, they weren't even galvanized. That was part of the problem. But you know the story of the Westmoreland plant, right?
No.
Well, this is anecdotal, so I can't say this is true, but the Rabbit pickup trucks that were built here, Rabbits were built in Germany to start, and then they came out with the Westmoreland plant, which was Westmoreland, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
They bought a plant there, and they decided they were going to manufacture Rabbits and Jettas and stuff here. So they built them in Westmoreland, Pennsylvania, and the story goes that there was a bunch of steel set off to the side at this Westmoreland plant. And they used it to build the Rabbit pickup trucks.
So when they bought the plant, the steel was there.
The steel was. This is like, the, great. This is the story.
Look, bonus.
Look at this.
Comes
this is
with
free
steel.
Comes
with steel.
Comes with steel.
Let's go.
So they rusted out worse than anything else. Plus the front ends of the trucks were dual layer steel for strength instead of just single.
Oh, so you had this whole cavity.
Oh, it's just awful. They just turn to dust. Okay. I would love to have a Rabbit pickup now, but they're just gone. Gone.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Gone.
Rule number five, Chris, and we're still in the process of buying the car. Always buy the best example of the vehicle within your budget. So here's the rule about everything. Yeah. If you're after a particular model, I've learned the hard way that the deal, quote unquote, almost always ends up being more expensive in the long run. Instead, you can pay a bit more for a nice sorted model with documentation. More on that later. So yes, always buy the best that you can at that time. Don't try to save money by buying one that maybe needs work or something. It's never worth it.
Yeah, but you're looking at this from the goggles of Jake today.
True.
I want you to look at this tip through the goggles of Jake at 20 years old that just wants something cool.
Okay.
And I
think what I would tell them.
Hold on. I think that a lot of what I've learned and the heritage of me with cars comes from buying the cheapest thing I could because I had no money and then learning how to fix it. Yes. This tip is for old dudes. This tip is like,
here's what I would tell the young dudes then is, let's say you have, I don't know, $3,000 to buy this car. I don't know. That's a bad example. The point is, even if you buy the fixer upper for cheaper, over the course of the next 3 years to get it to the point where that nicer one is, you're still going to pay the same amount of money and or time that will take you to do that as the nicer version.
Yeah, but you're also financing.
It's upfront cost versus long-term costs.
Yeah, but you're financing it, really. You're financing the work that someone else did to make something nice. You're buying the cheaper one that doesn't have the work done, and you will fix it over time. And I think that's a really valuable milestone in car guy life. Is having those cheap cars, having some piece of shit car.
This is how we learn these lessons.
You don't learn buying the best absolute example of a vehicle. You don't learn
anything that way. That's probably true.
So I don't like this.
Okay, so Okay, you don't like this one. This next one is interesting, and it was one coined by a guy named Philip Richter, a noted collector and automotive journalist. And I think we should actually get him on for an interview later, but wanted to include this rule because it brings up a good point. So the rule is, you can easily overpay for a good car, but you will never overpay for a truly great car. So Philip says this to ask yourself, could I ever find another one like this? If the answer is no, and the car is special, whether it be historically significant or extremely rare, exceptional vehicles simply won't lose value, is his rule.
Do you have an example? And,
well, just look at Bring a Trailer. If it's the super lowest mile of whatever it is, or it has some, you know, historical provenance to it. This, I think, is getting more into like legitimate collector cars.
Like, yeah, this is lame. This guy sucks.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
You don't
like,
agree?
Just, like, I don't, agree with that one. I don't want to be thinking about buying cars in this way. Well, I must find the lowest mile.
Maybe
example.
That should be. Maybe that should be the rule that's not on this list is don't buy a car as an investment or thinking you're going to make money on it.
Like, a lot that's of a people rule are right going to be losing out on this market. Exactly. The market is softening up incredibly. So all yes. these investor douchebags are losing money, and I couldn't be happier about it.
Well, that and also, you know, if you're just in it for an investment, that means you're not going to enjoy the car and you may not, you'll buy a car that you didn't like in the first place because, ooh, this one's a good investment. That's dumb. Yes. Buy the car yeah. you want, not the one that
buy
you
the
think
car
is
you
be
want,
investment.
Not the one that's historically significant or extremely rare, unless it just happens to be the car you want. Those are not
correct.
Good reasons to buy cars. I know that some people like to collect things in that way. And, you know, it's the same. It's like I had a horrible example just pop up in my head. It's definitely bad, but it's funny how bad it is. It's like a stamp collector. You got a guy okay. that likes to look at the stamps, and then you've got the guy that likes to lick the stamps and mail the envelope. It's the worst example I've ever came up with in my life, but it's you get kind of gets the point across.
Is that like the weird kinky fetish stamp collector? He's like, yeah, I like to lick them. Yeah,
where is he yeah. putting them then?
I anyway, don't know. That's, that you was don't even worse, know, Jake. Chris. You don't.
Thanks
even
for
know.
Making me look good with yeah. where that went.
Okay, so. If you do find the needle in the haystack, Chris, here's the next rule. You better be ready to pounce.
You know what right? sucks is I have people asking me, well, not sucks. It's just, it's silly. I have people asking me all the time, hey, man, if you see a 911 that's reasonably priced, hit me up. And there's a couple of times that I follow through and be like, hey, man, I know of a car.
Here
it's
it is.
Right here. And they're like, yep. let me get the money together. And I go, no, nope,
that's not how this works.
That's exactly. not how this works. You need to have, you should have a bank account that says my car purchase, and it should have yep. the money ready to go, exactly. or you should have the disposable income to do it. And I'm talking even on the cheap end, you know, it's sure. these
yeah.
stuff goes
even
like,
if you're looking at a $5,000 project, you need it sitting there because you want to make it absolutely as painless as possible for the seller, right? Yes. You have to run to the bank or come back another day. That's just more reasons to make a seller hesitant, or someone else is going to buy it instead. So bring a trailer or an extra driver if the car runs. This is always another good reason to have a friend come with. Mm-hmm. And it's a hell of a lot easier to negotiate when you have cash laid out in front of the seller, right?
Yeah, in your hand. If you have the cash in your hand, man, there's no color like
green.
It's a heck
of a lot easier. Yep. Okay. Here is admittedly 100% a Jake-ism. And mm-hmm. my rule for buying a car is simply be likable. The entire dance of negotiating a buying a car is relationship building, right? It's one thing to be shrewd and drive a hard bargain. It's another thing to come off as a know-it-all dick who's just pointing out flaws on your car, right?
Yeah.
If a person generally likes you, they're more likely to work with you on a deal. And keep in mind also that the more...
How do you point out a flaw in someone's car to someone that they might not have known about
right.
to help your position? What's your
That's
what's your
where you say
there?
you always work up. Rather than working down. This is a negotiation tactic I found. So rather than saying you're asking 10 grand for the car, well, it needs this, 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 and this, and so I'm at six. You say instead, hey, man, I really like the car. I'm interested, you know, and my original budget was $6,000, you know, and I know this car, you're asking a lot more. I did notice, though, that like this paint here, I realized that would probably be, you know, it's going to be a $1,500 paint job. So, you know, that's $8,500 I'd need to spend. And then
well, I'll just
here's
sell
such
it to somebody that won't paint the car. I don't care about that.
But you're likable, Chris. And so I'm going to convince you that it should be me. Because here's the thing.
Because there's things that you can negotiate over and there's things that you shouldn't. Paint, not good.
No,
blown
you're
struts,
right.
Good. Yes. Bad brakes, good. Ball joints, good. Paint.
Here's kind of the bottom line. Is keep in mind that more than likely than not, this car was also once or maybe still is someone's pride and joy. Right. If you're looking at a unique project car or something, whether knowingly or not, they want to see it go to a good home or someone that they identify with and like.
I feel like that's a misnomer. Go to a good home.
You don't
home.
Think that's true?
No. People just want to sell the shit. They want it out of their life. I really there's some cases of that. But I think that it's
even
something people
so,
just say. I don't think
they're
that's true.
More willing to make a deal with you if they like you.
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely true. That goes everywhere in life. You know, you're at the checkout counter at the grocery store. And if you roll up and you're cheerful to the person checking you out of the grocery
100%.
Store and they're happy and you engage with them and then something doesn't scan and it's like it doesn't work, they are far less likely to go. You know, they're less likely to have a problem with what's going on than they are to just help you out.
Do you know where I've found this more than anywhere else to be true is the DMV. Everyone at the DMV is crabby. They expect the next person to be crabby. And so when you're like cheerful, playful, or like, oh, how you doing? Or man, that guy, don't know what he had for breakfast. Yep. They're like totally resets them, sets the tone, and they're willing to go out of their way to do help you with things. 100%. Maybe they want.
It'll save you money too at the DMV. There's been a couple of times where like, oh, well, you can probably do this. And I'm really, really polite at the DMV. Like,
yes, 100%.
Overly polite. For me, it's likeable. Like legendary polite Christopher politeness. It doesn't exist in many other places, but the DMV works every time. So yeah, it's being sweet. You know, honey attracts more flies than, you know, than anything else. You got to be what? You never heard this?
Honey attracts more flies. You're not supposed to attract flies, Chris. I don't think that's how it goes.
I think
that's not how the saying goes.
How is it? Well, how does it go?
Honey, I know what you're talking about, but you don't want flies. So that doesn't work in an analogy. Honey attracts
it does. It's attract more flies with honey than vinegar. It's just saying that you're going to get more action being sweet than you are being sour.
I don't know why. Yeah, but you don't want flies.
It's a saying. It's just a saying, dude.
All right, Chris. The last rule on the process side of our
wait hold on a second
rules.
I want to talk a little when are we going to talk about negotiation because I feel like we're right there
I didn't really have much as far as a rule for negotiation so go for
I think that the most important part of negotiation is not and we touched on it for a second is not insulting the person you cannot insult them and you have to find a crafty way to talk people down.
So do you have an example or do you have
I will straight up ask people. I'm like, hey man, where do you need to be? Like what, you know,
what's your bottom dollar? Whatever your top dollar is, man.
No, you can't say it that way.
I know.
You go, hey man, you know, we both probably have a number in mind. You know, well, I want to try and find a way that we both come out really happy. Yeah. What were you thinking? Where do you need to be on this? You know, if it's $10,000, a lot of times the guys go, I don't know, like $9,500. And you're like, oh, okay. And then I do start working from the bottom up. And I was like, yeah, I was thinking more like seven, but I could, you know, with some of the issues, like I really love this car. You know, maybe we could, you know, it needs a few things. You know, could we do eight? Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know. Is, you know, you just go back and forth. Then you meet in the middle.
Right, you come to it. Exactly.
But it's, you know, you have to, everybody knows that the dance of negotiation is going to happen. Everybody
and
knows.
And I hate the people who tries to be the hard ass and be like, yep, I'll give you $7,000, take it or leave it. Yep. And
nobody
it's
wants
just
that.
You're not likable. And even if he would have come up, you know, and he's like, oh, well, I'd be willing to go to eight, but I'm going to say seven, take it or leave it. So then they come down. That's not how that works.
No,
you have to be likable. Do the dance.
It's compromise, really. That's why I put it out there. It's like, hey, we both are trying to get something out of this process. How can we just get there? Like,
although it's funny because I was buying a car, a specific car that you know of from a friend of ours, and an intermediary goes, well, neither of you were super excited about the price that you landed on, which means I know it was a fair deal. A fair deal is when neither party is extremely happy about it, because if one person is happy, that means the other one got ripped off, right?
I suppose.
I don't know if it's necessarily true, but it was interesting. He goes, if neither party is like super happy about the deal, you know, it was fair.
Yeah, I would somewhat agree with that. You know, I think that in the enthusiast realm that we're in, when you walk away with the car that you wanted, you're probably happy. Even
you're
if
probably
you
happy
a little bit.
You're right. You're right.
You're
100%.
Probably already happy.
This
you're
was feeling, my 996 4 liter build.
Ah, yes.
From
yeah.
our friend Bjorn.
That was a great car. I really wish you still had that thing.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another car they've had that I forgot about. You know, yeah, that's what happens. You forget about so
I know.
Many.
Okay.
So,
our
so
last rule in the process.
Any other negotiation
here,
tactics, Jake?
Negotiation tactics. Really,
how
my
do you
biggest
feel about
negotiation.
Nope.
That's where, I mean, yes. Okay. But in a perfect world, that's where I say you got to be ready to pounce, right? Mm-hmm. Have the money, have a driver or a trailer with you ready to rock. I have done it in the rare instance where I go, I want it. You agree to it. You go, I have $1,000 with me. Can I give this to you and come back tomorrow with a trailer?
Yeah. A lot of times that things happen so fast. Like you're on the internet. You're like, oh,
that's
it's
actually
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
How I bought my orange 911 is I didn't know I was going to buy it. We were at that car show. And so I had Nikki run home and get all the cash we had in the safe and handed it to him. Said, okay, we'll do the deal tomorrow.
So that's, I mean, I kind of forced you to buy that car. I was like, you need to
I had
to
everyone
buy.
who was like, if you don't buy this, I'm in line behind you.
Yeah. It was obscenely cheap. Obscene.
Great deal.
Especially
great car.
When you look back at it on these days. So I think of like a lot of times it'll be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or whatever it is that you're looking at. And you're like, okay, I need to come look at this. I will come look at this. Mm-hmm. If I come look at it, can I put a deposit on it? Is usually what I'll say, because there's no way to get $3,000 to $4,000 when it's 3:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
And the car is a screaming deal. And then, you know, the guy's got like 25 dudes trying to tickle his nuts to get a look at it first.
Ooh, this is also something with the process. Speaking of Facebook Marketplace, because we could write our own rules about just Facebook Marketplace and etiquette.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah.
Is number one, always, okay, first of all, never hit the damn button that's the quick reply button. That's why everyone now in their ad says, if you ask if it's available, I won't respond. Because that's the button that says, do you want to ask if it's available? Don't ever hit the button. Instead, make a custom message.
Here knows that.
Hey, John, very interested in XYZ. Could I come take a look? But my number one rule is put your phone number first message. Always put your phone number in your first message to him. Say, hey, feel free to text me or call me.
Yep.
I had a guy who called me about, I was looking at a side-by-side before I bought the truck. And he goes, I've had 35 messages on Facebook. You're the first guy to send me your number. I'm 70 years old. I'm not going to reply to all these.
Yep.
And I was
I'm 40 years old. I'm not going to reply to all these.
Exactly. If someone gives you your phone number, they're actually interested and you can talk to a human. So that'd be my number one rule of Facebook Marketplace. Okay. Yeah,
I'm
lastly,
not even
going to
get
Chris,
into that cesspool.
My last rule.
Dude, Facebook Marketplace is like fucking ruined.
Yeah, I know.
It's so bad.
It's so
bad. What are
bad.
They trying to do with it?
They made it way too easy. So now all you get are these people that used to be tire kickers, but at least tire kickers had to make the effort to call you and come out and kick the tires. Mm-hmm. Now you can virtually kick the tires by hitting a single button.
You know what I think it was?
So terrible. Like,
it didn't exist on Craigslist, because on Craigslist you had to click something and write an email.
Yes, exactly.
With Facebook,
it's
too
the lack
easy.
Of effort.
Yeah, you can sit there on your
100%.
Phone. Is it available? You can just go through and click, is it available on all this shit?
Every single one of them. You could.
Is it satisfying some sort of mental dopamine hit by saying it's available? Like you're kind of like putting your toe into buying it? Is it satisfying something? Why do people do this?
Because it is fun. Here's the thing. It is fun to window shop. It's the same reason people go shopping for the fun of it. I've done it. You go through and you're like, oh, I wonder what.
Yeah, but you don't take something over the counter and go, is this available?
No,
and they go,
right.
Well, yes,
there's
it is. And then drop it on the counter and walk out of the store.
But you're right. There is a sort of like dopamine hit, or it feels good to shop. Right. And that's what you're doing.
But you don't have to.
I know.
Message
you don't have
person.
To hit the button. You don't have to do it. Don't do it. Do not.
I
hit
think
the
what
button.
It is it's creating notifications for people is I think what it is. And it brings them back to the app. That's all Facebook wants is for you to spend more time on the app. So when you say, is it available,
that are doing that,
a notification on their phone and they gotta go, they gotta open up the app and look at
it. I understand why Facebook wants you to do that, but it's people that are hitting the button, is it available? And I don't know why they're doing that if they're not serious. Okay. Chris,
probably because they're low IQ deadbeats.
We have a whole another half of this list to get to. We're not even through the first half. Okay. So our last rule in the process of buying is, if it's too good to be true, it most likely is. The old adage still applies, perhaps more than ever now in the age of online car buying. Do you remember years ago?
Yeah.
There was an 87 Porsche 911 Turbo, a 930 for sale online.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was Facebook Marketplace.
And it was a good deal, but it wasn't insane.
It wasn't like absurd. It wasn't like absurd, but it was a great deal. And the reason was, it was listed in Hawaii on the big island that no one goes to. Or it wasn't the big island. It was Kauai or something. Anyways, I happened to be going there on vacation the following week. And so that's why I was looking just for the hell of it on Craigslist there. And so I messaged a dude and I was like, you know, hey, I'd love to come take a look. It's available. He goes, yep. Yeah. Let me know if you want to put a deposit down. I got a lot of people interested. And I was like, oh, that's weird and interesting. And I go, well, actually, I'm going to be there next week. So can I come take a look at it? And it was like, he ghosted me. Mm-hmm. And I come to do some digging and find the photos on like a forum post from years ago. And the car was
actually located in
Minnesota or something. And it was all a scam. Right.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
It probably is. But you still got to just check.
Yeah, that's right.
You just got to kind of check, you know,
it's you got to like, hit the button. Is it available?
It's like the hot girl at the bar as a single guy. You hit the button. You got, I mean, you're probably going to get shot down, but you might as well talk to her.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose. Yeah. Go talk to her.
All right. So it's one thing to find a good car, Chris, but it's a whole other experience when you go to look at it. And so moving on from the rules surrounding the process of buying the car, these next rules are what I call the scrutiny. You like that?
Yeah.
They used a thesaurus.
The scrutiny.
The scrutiny.
What was your word that you used?
Investigate.
The investigation.
Or like look at her. Yeah. Okay. So number one, never buy a car in the dark.
Yeah. This was
was going to be my like absolute number one rule, as it's both literal and figurative. So first, quite literally, never buy a car after the sun goes down. Nothing beats natural light when inspecting paint, body, and other hard to see items.
Yeah, walking around with a flashlight on your phone looking at a car to buy,
it's terrible.
Worst
absolutely
idea
terrible.
Ever.
You're going to miss everything. But secondly, and more figuratively speaking, you never want
to
be...
Jake, hold on.
What?
Sometimes you have to. Okay,
I know
this again goes back to a car is a good deal.
You go and you look at the
car, and this is probably another rule that we could put in here. You look at the car as soon as possible, no matter what the circumstance. You look at the car as soon as possible. You give him your phone number. You talk to him. I can come over. This is the soonest I can be there, and you go, even if it's after dark. However, you do not buy in the dark. Right? You go, you look, you can look the car over. Maybe you can put like a deposit down to come look
if you want
the next day, whatever you want to do. You got to be really careful here. You got to be really careful.
Okay. I like your rule that you just came up with about go look at it as soon as possible, because there was another stupid rusty plow truck that I wanted. And it was like over Thanksgiving. And I was like, hey, really want to come look at this. When can I come look at it? She goes, oh, my kids have practice tonight and then we're busy tomorrow. So Friday. I go,
and then you go,
I
hey, do you actually want to sell this thing?
No.
I hate that so much.
This is so frustrating. And so
it's a few days.
Listen, and this is why it was so frustrating, is I was like, I want to buy it right now. But if you can't sell it till Friday, what time can I come on Friday? Let's make an appointment. So I made an appointment with her. And I was like, so no one's going to come before me. She's like, no, I can't show it. She messaged me Friday morning. Hey, my husband sold it yesterday. I was so pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so. Yes. OK. Never buy a car in the dark. We know.
Is that
why,
also
literally.
Never buy a car from a woman? Is that what?
No, I'm not going there, Chris. I am not. Do not. Don't do that. OK. Figuratively speaking, you never want to be in the dark when buying a particular car. That is to say, do your due diligence, which is what brings us to our next rule. Know thy car. A bit of research goes a long way.
Any car ever
issues. Yes.
Any car ever has a guide on the internet of like what to look for.
A buying guide. Yes.
A buying
what are
guide.
The costs for the common repairs? What are the problem areas? Where are the common rust spots, etc.?
Or
always,
you know what else you could do?
Do research.
And this is hop on somewhere like the Overcrest Discord and just be like, hey,
yes.
There's a bunch of people there. It's hundreds and hundreds of people on Discord now. Hey, does anybody know anything about these cars?
Yes.
What can I look for?
Exactly.
Reach out to your community.
Big time. I like that one. All right. Take this next one, Chris.
What,
number
what is
three.
It?
Look
red flags.
For red
oh
flags.
My God. Red flags. Number one red flag is a clean engine bay.
Ooh,
when you open up the hood
washed.
And
Love
someone
it.
Had power washed the engine compartment, I'm like, oh man, I'm always
what
super
was going
concerned.
On here?
Or if all the plastics are shiny, and someone's armor-alled the shit out of the
yeah.
engine compartment.
Yeah.
I'm super concerned. I'd
really?
Rather see.
What if you're just really like you love detailing?
No, that's never
the guy
case.
Is so meticulous.
We're not buying cars from Jeff Brown. Okay. We're buying cars from Joey Berditzman down the street. And when you open up the engine compartment, and you can tell, dude, you can tell when an engine is old and it's dry and crusty and really clean.
Uh-huh.
It's just, there's no way. You yeah. just look at the guy and you're like, dude, did you pressure wash this engine compartment? And usually you can kind of like lean down and look under the car and there's just like a huge white stain from like all the degreaser on the ground. Yeah. I've seen it many, many times. And you can also like look around their driveway. Big tip. Look around their driveway and see where things have been leaking.
Oh, man.
Don't do yep. that at my house because everything's oh, leaked everywhere. Mm,
yes.
A lot of
good
yeah,
point.
Don't, that's
I not, love that.
Yeah.
All right. My
yes,
next
it's,
rule.
It's shiny engine bay. A lot of okay, times people will clean the top of the engine. They don't yep. clean the bottom. So you get yeah, on your knees so or get on your tummy and you look. And it's like the whole bottom of the car has like an oil slick all the way down to the back
yes.
because the oil has been leaking from the sump or the transmission and it just gets blown back as the car gets driven.
Yes, good point.
You know, inspect.
That should be a rule like for inspection is don't be afraid to get dirty or expect to get
to.
Dirty, right?
Yep.
Bring your flashlight. Bring your OBD scan tool, right? Like if
oh,
there's a check engine light, what is
that
it?
That needs that, but yes.
Okay, well, yes. I always do that. I bring a flashlight and my OBD tool and a magnet, right? Because if the paint's weird, you put a magnet to it. Oh, that's an inch full of Bondo there. That's not actually
yep.
metal.
Yep.
So, but yeah, get on your
what
hands
are some,
and knees.
What are some, Jake, what are
dirty.
Some common things in red flags? What are we looking at? Like what other than like, I think of
red flags
really
are inconsistencies,
things.
Right? Which you got to with the shiny engine bay. So
yeah.
inconsistencies in condition, right?
Deferred maintenance things that are
big time.
Hit like axle boots.
Yep.
Does the e-brake work? What is
so,
like? You're looking at things that are obviously you're looking at things that are broken, but you're
yes.
trying to get a sense of the level of care and
yes.
discretion that was taken
so,
with maintaining and operating the car. You're trying to get a feel for how much the owner gave a shit. Because
exactly.
if they didn't give a shit, that means you are going to have to give a shit.
Correct.
So you have,
and let's
you have
get to that in a minute, because I have a bunch of rules actually surrounding that.
Okay.
Before that, this we can go easy. Rust is always more than just skin deep, right? So if you see some rust bubbles here and there and you go, oh, that's just some surface rust, that's fine, I can clean that up. Just like an iceberg, most of that damage and rust is all below the waterline and you can't see it. So if there's any rust, assume there's twice as much you can't see.
Yep.
My
especially
next
if there's
rule,
been a repair. You know,
yes,
especially like my 911, somebody had repaired the latch panels and the latch panels go down and they go like, and below them is the rocker. Dude,
yeah.
my rockers are rusty. I need to have
really?
My rockers replaced. Mm. It cracked. There's a crack on my rocker.
What about your front pan that was full of foam?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So rust is always more than skin deep. This one I like. Mileage does not equal condition. Most folks mm-hmm. get hung up on mileage, right? And
this
I learned
is a big, we just had an issue. Like someone on the Discord was talking about this. Like I must have a 911 with less than 100,000 miles on it.
Yeah. I've learned a long time ago. Mileage is far from the end all be all. There are plenty of cars with low miles that have been absolutely abused. And on the flip side, there are many cars who have hundreds of thousands of miles, but have been meticulously maintained and cared for, right?
My the
it's,
4Runner
it's
I just
not
bought
the end all
has
be all.
250,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't clunk. It doesn't bump. It drives down straight down the road. It's
yes.
it's had maintenance done. It's been taken care of. Cars
see,
are,
that's another thing that's indicative of high miles. If you see a car that has high miles that doesn't look like it's beat, that means that it was taken care of.
Right.
It's almost a good thing in a sense.
Yeah, but it's,
you know?
It is something that you have to keep in mind that it is a, as a buyer, it's okay. But as a seller, when you're selling something with high miles, it's always a hurdle. It's always something that are people that, well, it's got really high miles. Always, every single time, high 100%. Miles is a detriment as a seller, period.
Yes.
Every time.
Which is why, as a buyer, don't be scared away. But it brings us to rule number six, which is documentation. Documentation of maintenance is always valuable. I don't care if it's actual records from the dealer that they have, or if it's the little notepad where they write down oil change done at 3,000 miles, because at least then you can see that they cared enough to maintain it and record that they did so. Ask for records. Mm-hmm. Pay for the damn Carfax report, Chris, every single time, unless it's before 1984.
Go on the Overcrest
always
Discord
pay and
have
for the
someone
Carfax.
Pull a Carfax for you.
Yes.
It's what the community is for. And if you're not part of it, you should be. And if you're part of the Discord, you could also be part of the
Overcrest Drivers Club.
Yes.
That's right. For as little as $5 a month, you too can get access
Jake,
to exclusive content. What?
Jake, it's $5.
I think that's too cheap, Chris.
Should we increase the price?
That's a smoking deal. We're not going to do it.
We haven't increased the price in 5 years.
We're not
going to
do it. But wait. Act now and you too could get in for just $5 a month.
It's basically an awesome deal.
Go to
Inflation
Drivers
went
Club.
Up. It's on sale. Dude, we never changed the price. It's basically 30% off.
I just had an idea.
What?
Can we get like a club discount on Carfax and it's only for our Drivers Club members? So it's like free Carfax for Drivers Club members?
Sure. I don't.
I'm going to look into that.
Sign up for it.
I'm going to look into it. Wouldn't that be sweet?
Yeah, sure. Fuck it. Why not?
Oh, I like that idea. Okay. So pay for the damn Carfax report. You learn a lot.
Where do they go to sign up for the Drivers Club?
Overcrestproductions.com/Chris is an idiot.
That'll work. That'll work. Hey, guys, it helps support. Help support us. You know, the podcast money is a little different than the Overcrest money. And to keep the podcast lights on, we need it. We really appreciate you.
Yes, we do. Okay. I just had a stroke.
Jake had another. Every once in a while.
Okay.
Jake's
so
stroke.
In addition to standard records, documentation, maintenance records, and or the Carfax report, you know what I've done several times now recently? Like with this S5 that I bought, and the guy goes, oh yeah, I don't have records, but it was serviced at the dealer and it had the chains done. Okay. Guess what I did? I called the damn dealer. And more often than not, I've done this a bunch. I've never had any pushback, but this goes to that rule above about be likable, right? So you say, hey, be honest. Hey man, I have worked with you guys a lot. I've bought a few cars from you. This time I'm actually looking at a used car from private party. He claims he had a bunch of work done here. Would you be able to see if that's the case? Sure. What's the VIN? Here's the VIN. All right. You got this. You got this. You got this. You got this. They'll walk you through everything. They go, oh, sometimes they'll go, oh, I remember that car. That's Joe or whatever. Yeah, that's actually fine. He takes care of that thing. Or he bought it from a guy before and he had it meticulously maintained here. Haven't seen it in a couple years. Either way, it'll give you knowledge, and more times than not, they have no problem doing this.
You can look at the documentation. You can see, like, let's say we're buying a Volkswagen and it had been serviced at, you know, South Central Imports, right?
Yep.
You can look at that and call them up and go, hey.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. It doesn't have to just be a dealer or anything like that. Also, in this vein a little bit is, I don't know, let me look and see if this is on your list. It's not. What about pre-purchase inspections? How do you feel about those?
I did a PPI I've paid for two PPIs before and I forget what they were. I think I did the yellow turbo. I did for sure with
the
yellow turbo.
Yeah. Yes. I remember that.
And
was it valuable to you to do it? Because a lot of people will say, hey, get a PPI done because it gives you leverage to use against the seller.
I don't think it's that, because they'll just say, meh, that's fine. I'm just going to wait and sell it for my asking price. What it does is it tells you if there are any red flags that you didn't see otherwise.
Right.
That's the big thing that is valuable. That being said, the cars that I did get PPIs done and I bought, they weren't necessarily available because there were no red flags. Otherwise, I would have walked away. There's also the sunk cost fallacy, though, that a lot of people say, well, I paid for the PPI and or I already bought the plane ticket and I'm here. You can't let that factor in.
Well, the PPI should be something that you do. You don't do that when you buy a car locally, because you can do your own pre-purchase inspection. But it is something that you can do when you're buying a car that's far away. you do that before you book your ticket.
Or, honestly, you know what I've seen? Speaking of the driver's club or the Discord, mm-hmm. I've seen people say, hey, you're interested in that car? That's actually right local to where I live. You want me to go look at it? That's happened on our forum before.
Many times. I've done that for a bunch of people, too.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. My next two rules are questionable, and we'll have a lot of discussion around them, Chris. Mm. The rule is avoid someone else's project.
I can't have to avoid my own projects.
I know.
I don't even remember where I left off on shit.
I'm so guilty of this. But buying a half-completed car may seem like a bargain. Much of the work was already done, and there's a whole horde of parts that are probably included. And besides, it's cheap since it's not a running and car driving car. So, like, what's not to love about this? I've done this too.
This was like my 77 Volkswagen Scirocco project that I bought. It was chrome yellow, had a 180 engine, like, in a crate, and the whole car was filled with parts.
And this was the 951, and I've bought other cars like this. The big question you need to ask yourself, Chris, is, if finishing this is so easy, why haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
And unless you really know the car or the owner, which is, again,
to be fair, the 944 wasn't really a project.
Sideways.
It was
done. It didn't run.
It did. It was a diesel. It didn't run.
Yeah. It hadn't run in years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got it running in the diesel. But anyways, it was a project. So yeah, unless the car is going sideways and you're the owner or someone's stalled project is bound to come with buying their pitfalls as well. The all too common reason of, quote, lost interest that you see listed on every ad online should always be read as discovered massive issue, want to be rid of this nightmare.
Also could be talent deficit too.
It could, but it's very tempting to buy someone else's project.
Here's another thing people do. Wife forces sale.
That's another
bullshit.
Big time.
So full of crap. People use their wife as a fulcrum to leverage deals and stuff.
Scapegoat.
All the time.
Big time.
Yep. There's times
in
where
reality,
like
that one is a discovered massive rust hole. Need to get rid of this thing.
Like Jesse, I will use Jesse as an out. Like I'll call her on the phone when I'm going to buy a car and be like, yeah, man, it just can't happen. Wife said no, which is baloney, but it's an easy out because who's going to argue with that?
Right. Yeah.
Anytime you hear wife anything, either that person's wife is a total like clot.
Yeah.
Or it's an
excuse. Out. Yes. All right, Chris, I think you're going to like this one and agree with it. Lack of taste generally equals lack of quality.
Hmm.
And before I describe
about modifications
this
here.
Yes. This also works the other way and would be rule number one. If we did the selling a car list, always depersonalize your car.
Yeah, we talked about this when we had Bring a Trailer on the podcast.
We did.
Depersonalize.
Yeah. And many times you may come across a car you're interested in and it's been modified. And I've almost talked myself into the same scenario before. Sure, I don't care for their insert tacky bolt on here, whether that's deck lid wing, underglow, or cheap coilover suspension, obnoxious exhaust, whatever it may be. But surely I can just return it to stock and it'd be a great car.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. Generally speaking, and there are exceptions to this rule, if a car has been modified with a lack of taste, it has also been done so with a lack of quality.
Yes,
think about it.
Absolutely.
If this guy or gal didn't want to shell out for a decent coilover setup, for example, they probably also wouldn't be paying for the additional bushings, timing belt service, shop rates, and everything else that goes along with keeping a car maintained.
Agreed. 100%.
Poor taste equals poor quality.
Yep. Absolutely. I bring it back to women again. You know, if she's dressed like a hag, she might be one.
Okay. Well, there you have it. The golden rules when buying a car. And as we said, if you aren't on the Overcrest Discord, now would be a great time to join and let us know what your thoughts are on the list and what you think we might have missed.
Yeah, I'll put the link to the Discord in the show notes, which I say I will do all the time and then never do it. So I will make sure.
Do it here.
I will do it here. It's definitely something we're signing up for, especially if you miss forums. You know, there's all kinds of build threads.
It's funny because, you know, we being admins of the Discord, we try to go in, at least I do every morning and just see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's so much fun too that I'm sitting there and there goes hours of my day just reading stuff on the Discord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is great.
It's not quite the same as back in the day with forums, but it's very close. And it's more of a live interaction too, because it's, you know, it's like it's basically a chat room with forums. It's
correct.
Awesome. I
and you know
it.
What else I like about it is, unlike forums, this is kind of a catered community. These are our people, right?
Yep.
It's the type of person that you like if you listen to the podcast. So
thank you. Yeah. Jake, thank you. It was very good. That's the audience
thank
agrees.
You for the terrible applause.
Yeah, I found a soundboard on
I noticed.
Yeah, yeah. I found an old man, that was a while ago when we did that
soundtrack.
Episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was with the test driver or the stunt driver.
Anything else, Jake? What else? Anything?
Hopefully my move went great and I appreciate everyone that came
this
out.
This weekend. What is today?
Today is Monday.
Monday. Okay.
I think Saturday is when we're going to move.
Do you need any help this week?
This week?
Yeah.
Saturday? Yes.
I know, but this week before moving, do you need help? Do you need me to come down and help you?
No, I appreciate that. We have, I should share the photo on Discord. We have gone through everything in our storage room downstairs and everything else and thrown away half of it and put the rest in bins and labeled and stacked the bins on a trailer.
Yep.
And it looks like Legos. It's so, realistically though, that's most of our stuff, Chris, which is great. Like
yeah,
that's
I've,
also
I've
kitchen
made
appliances.
The comment
that's
that
everything
it feels
else.
Like when you go through all your stuff, it feels like you live in a thrift store, but it's all yours.
Right. Sometimes you forget about it. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. I totally forgot about this.
Yeah. Well, this is great. And some, there's
and
a couple things now.
You already bought it.
Oh, look at this cool old thing that I bought new.
Yeah.
And then there's all kinds of other things, like finding a Bluetooth speaker that's 10 years old. And it's basically made of paper mache and baling
wire. I have a
bin
full of old like MacBooks that are too old to do anything with. Like, do I just throw them away? What do I do with those? It seems like
you
such
just
a waste.
Recycle them. Take them.
They
to
were high tech, Chris. This is expensive equipment, circa 2001.
Yeah, you can take them to the Apple Store and recycle them.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just so much, and I have so much of that where it's like I know this is or was worth something, especially car parts. I'm moving a lot of car parts because I know they're worth something, but it's like okay. Get the time to list them and take photos and write a description and put them on the forum or Facebook. I have boxes of like 9/11 parts that I need to sell.
Why? What do you have?
Just like stuff that came off the original car, like factory seats. I have a fiberglass front bumper.
What
I have
color
a steel
are
rear bumper. Black vinyl. There's one teeny tear. They're like actually really good condition. I should just list everything right now that I have and then people can make me offers.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll
do
it
on
the
Discord. Throw it
actually,
up there.
That's a really good idea. I will do that. I have a bunch of 944 parts too.
I need
what do you need?
The pot metal housings for the lenses front and rear. Mine are just shot.
The what lenses?
The turn signal and housings. The pot metal like shitty metal things.
I know what you're talking about. Those I don't have.
You don't have those?
Don't have those. Mm. No. I have horn grills.
That's all I really need.
I have airbox. I have side deco trim. I have lots of stuff.
I'm trying to find corduroy fabric for my Recaros. I found some, but the corduroy is too fat.
Like you also have to make sure it uses the right dye that's UV resistant. Because fabrics, you know, are not automotive grade.
And they're not backed. You need something purple. That has a backing to it where it's got like a nylon backing that the corduroy is glued to.
You know what's interesting is like this is usually our conversation after we stop the podcast and just keep talking to each other. And now this time people get to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to figure out whether I'm going to keep these Shielman seats or not because I really, really miss my old seats. The Shielmans are cool, but they're not really conducive to super long road trips that I like to do and being in the car for hours and getting in and out in and out over the course of weeks. They're cool, but I really kind of miss my Recaros.
Well, I don't know what to tell you there. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, head over to the Overcrest Garage Sale on Discord.
Everything's for sale. All right, guys. We will see you. What do we got going on? Anything?
Next week? I don't know. We're ahead a week, actually, now.
Yeah, let me look and see what's going on next week. We can let people know. Come on, internet.
Is this organized, Chris, with the schedule?
What do we got? What date will that be? I know. Anyway,
4th, the 11th. What do we have on the 11th?
11th. That is, this episode comes out on the 11th.
Cool. And what's on the 4th?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we already had that. Okay, whatever. We have something great for you guys.
Hang up. Hang up. We will see you guys.
That's not how this works.
Next week.
Take care.